Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just can't stop talking crap about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hey, Ronnie, how's it going?
Hello, Ben.
Hello. It's a big day. Big day here on Bravo. Yes. What'd you
say? It is a big day. That creak. I said, hello, Ben. Creak. I moved my phone over. This microphone stand is a little bit rusty over here, guys. Just like the cast of the valley.
Yes, we're back. The valley's back. I think with almost zero fanfare, it's sort of whatever fanfare there was got overshadowed by people first complaining about Miami. And then, of course, now we have our whole drama on Summer House, which made it to the New York Times, the top of the New York Times. It was literally like New York Times logo on their website. It was like New York Times logo on the left was like, oh, DHS is being funded again and there's a war. And then on the right, it was explaining the Summer House scandal. I was like, wow, Wes and Amanda next to war on the New York Times. Like they did it. We did it, Joe.
That makes sense.
Before we dive into that, Patreon, come visit us. Watch What Crappens. Patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens. We have a newsletter that's free for everyone, even non-members. We also have an ad-free feed there for Patreon members, a weekly bonus episode. This week, we did a big ol' recap on the latest episode of Survivor, last week's episode of Survivor. I haven't actually watched last night's yet. We also have Crappens on Demand, where you can watch us, not just listen to us. So go check out Patreon. And in the meantime, let's dive into the season premiere of The Valley, a Jaxless Valley. What did you think, Ronnie?
Loved the Jaxlessness. You know, I forget how kind of sad this show is. I get like a sad feeling while I watch this show. Most of the shows on Bravo, they start, I'm like, ha 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 ha. And this one, I just feel kind of sad as it goes on. I mean, like the settings are sad. The places they go to lunch are always really sad. They look like they have like sticky stuff on the table. And they haven't been bussed. And it's just like they're not designed. They're all like shitty diners. And then the apartments and the houses are all just like kind of sad too. And I don't know. And then the relationships are all sad. And I don't know. I feel kind of sad. But then by the end, I'm laughing. So I guess that's all I can really ask for. What do you think?
I mean, Ronnie, it's a show based on the San Fernando Valley. I mean, what else do you expect? I mean, the show's great. It's a great show. It is sad. It's a sad show because getting older is sad and giving up on your dreams is sad. And being anchored down to children is sad. So a lot of it is just a very sad show. But it's funny. I find that like I think with everything happening with Summer House, I just was not ready to pivot into the Valley world yet because it's such a, like, I feel like between Summer House and the extended world of Vanderpump Rules, there is such a different culture, you know, like Summer House, the world of Summer House has this East Coast Manhattan vibe to it of like wealthy, upper middle class kids who live in the city, they're adults who live in the city who are working in either media or influencing, and they're kind of like career driven, you know, and they go out to the Hamptons, they do stuff. And then when you go to like the world of Vanderpump Rules in the Valley, these are not career driven people. I mean, you got what's his face as a lawyer, Jason, but everyone else is just sort of, what are they doing? They're just kind
floating
of
around.
Hanging out.
I mean, I don't know. That's floating. A good question. But isn't that a question we ask in LA all the time? Like, what does everybody do? Because like everybody's, and I'm sure they ask it about us as they see us at the fucking, you know, coffee shop at noon on the laptop. Like, what do they do? You know, everyone has like some weird connection to work. So that's kind of typical LA. I guess they're all influencers. I know Brittany's a pretty big influencer, I guess.
Right. She's like an influencer. Jesse is a realtor. Michelle is, I guess, technically a realtor. Like they work, but like the vibe there is just sort of like, it feels like if you're on Vanderpump Rules or The Valley, you at one point or another in your life, or maybe actively, were clutching to fame or chasing fame. Whereas on Summer House, it feels like if the show ended, everyone would be able to go back to a trajectory they were already on. And I don't know, like sometimes it's like hard to go from the Summer House vibe to the West Coast, you know, straight people vibe. And I think because the scandal on Summer House is so big right now and so consuming, what'd you say?
Well, they're all I know. People,
except for I meant more just like housewives.
Normies.
Whatever we call the shows that are not about the Real Housewives that are generally about straight people, like Southern Charm and, you know, all these shows. I'm saying I think I'm so consumed with Summer House at the moment that I'm having a hard time like pivoting into the Valley, but I'll get there and it's fine. I love the show.
I've had Summer House overdose. I don't care anymore. Like there are so many posts that are like, oh my God, they were touching feet by the pool in episode 2. We didn't see. I don't care. Like it's to me. I don't like I'm done. I've already had it. I was mad for a week and I think that's all I've got for it. So I'm glad to have something else to be angry about. And her name is Janet. And she's back. So we start the episode with Brittany, of course.
It's a brand new year and a brand new me. I'm getting back my sparkle.
Brittany is more of a Muppet than ever. Wow.
Yeah, she really
Brittany
is.
Brittany came in with an extra dose of Brittany. She got some Brittany wings and dipped them in some Brittany sauce. And she's Brittany'd up. Wow.
Brittany is giving vibes of like a wind up doll, and someone gave her like really basic things to say when they go to El Coyote later in the episode, and she keeps on interjecting with these random things like it's bear o'clock. I felt like someone is actively taking a cord from her back and pulling it and seeing what pops out of her mouth.
It's bear o'clock.
She's just saying random shit like that.
Bear me. Nacho me.
I don't know. It's like, we'll have to see when we get there. I don't remember specifically what she said, but that entire scene, like no matter what anyone said, she would just sort of chuckle some sort of like silly response to it. Like, well, I got a flat tire today.
Oh, that's just like boys do, right?
I'm like, what?
Boys will be boys. Everything's so much better now. I'm so much better. I'm so happy now. I'm paying for everything. I'm so proud of myself. I'm paying for my baby. I'm paying for my house. I'm paying for everything. This house that says home. It says home. I pay for that. Yeah. Well, I'm still not divorced. Jax hasn't sent in the paperwork yet. But I'm hoping within 6 weeks he'll send in the paperwork.
He ain't going to send in the paperwork. He wants half of your money, honey. That man's not doing anything. You're not getting away from Jax. I'll tell you that. And it's sad, but you're not going to get away from that man until he has half of everything.
Yeah, you will not be seeing that paperwork. He's using that paperwork to snort lines. So now we go to Zach's apartment with Benji. And he's like, Benji's like, honey, I'm home. He's like, why is this their hair in my container? Look at this. He has like an empty OXO cereal container that somehow has hair in it for whatever reason. And then we see Zach in the confessional and he's, I guess, turned into a light walker. His eyes are piercing blue. And then there's also like this 1940s like spotlight on him. I'm like, what are they doing to Zach? And he's like, I'm still in West Hollywood and I still haven't made the jump to the Valley. And I don't think I ever will. And the great part is my roommate is moving out and Benji is soft moving in, but he's so small. He doesn't take up much room. It's basically like I get a triple the closet space because I'm dating Benji.
So Benji got a haircut. It's a big day. He's like, yeah, you know what? And I need to do my GLP-1 because like, I don't have to lie about how I lose weight. Yeah, it's other people on the cast. Liars. But you know what? I'm going to do it right now. Oh, God. I hope I don't rub off too much of my spray tan. I'm skinny again. Yay.
And then over at Jasmine and Melissa's apartment in Sherman Oaks, Jasmine's like, well, Melissa and I are still living together. We moved in a new place in Sherman Oaks, and I can't believe that I'm living in the Valley. But I'm just trying really hard to get off of this third tier status in the show and actually get in the mix a little bit. In the mix. I can't believe I'm in the Valley. Yeah, I'm a little bit of a laid back bride. I would say I'm just kind of a go with the flow. It's going to be black tie, no kids. It's going to be sushi. There's going to be a carving station. We'll carve the sushi. It's very interactive. It's simple. It's elegant. And I don't want anybody rolling up there.
Super easy. Not a lot going on at the wedding. It's going to be super simple. Bride, sushi, steak, buffet, napkins, forks, trapeze. There's going to be a lady on a trapeze. There's going to be a swimming pool. It's going to be mermaids. Mermaids in the swimming pool. Pretty easy.
We're going to
circus performance. Seals, people bouncing.
We're going to set up a mannequin so that we dance. We're going to set up a mannequin so that way Danny can cup its ass and say, Daddy's here. You know, things like that.
So Melissa's like, I can't believe we're actually getting married. I have so much to do. We should be doing more. Why aren't you helping? And she's like, I'm the groom. I'm not going to help you. So that's their storyline. Jasmine's like, I'm I don't want to get wedding stuff done. Melissa's going to be like, we've got to get wedding stuff done.
Now let's go over to Michelle Lolly as she sages the house before Jesse comes over to pick up Isabella. I have my own plan again, and I'm truly, truly single. Erin and I didn't work out. And the producer's like, have you ever been broken up with before? Actually, it was the first time anybody has ever broken up with me. I usually do the breaking up, but I guess that's very threatening for people.
Only Michelle would use the sage before the evil person came over. You're supposed to use it after he comes. She doesn't know how to use it.
And also
sage.
Open the windows. Open your windows when you do it.
So Jesse comes over and says hi to Isabella. She's like, okay, Isabella, go with your father. Jesse and I split, Isabella. We switch weekends. I wish the divorce was finalized, but it is not. He always has an excuse as to why he cannot sign the paper. Because he wants to spend your money, too. That's the men on the valley. That's why this show's so sad.
Yeah.
All the men are just, like, trying to leech off the women, you know? I think except for the zombie one who grabs butts.
Danny.
He works occasionally, but yeah, and Jason. Yeah, I guess Jason too. So, Jesse's like, God, Michelle thinks that everything I do is strategic, but you know, like I want to get divorced. It just hasn't happened yet. It will happen. It will sign the papers.
Sir. I'm like, you're really making this sound really, he's like, he says, I want to get divorced. It just hasn't happened yet. Simple. I was like, what's simple about that? What do you mean? It just hasn't happened yet. Did you like lose your fine motor skills and can't find your name? What's going on?
When you don't want to sign the papers, it's because there's something you're not getting in that divorce. And what do you want in the divorce? Money.
Not signing the papers in order to get something, extract some sort of value or improve your position is inherently a strategic thing to do. So don't tell us that you're not doing anything strategic right now. If you weren't doing anything strategic, you'd sign the papers. You can't act like, it's just a video cassette you have to rewind before you bring it back to Blockbuster. Like, sign it.
Be kind. Rewind. So we go to Danny and Nia's house, and you know we're going to Danny and Nia's because they just show bare canyon hills, like nothing, yeah. And then a house. And it's so funny because they're really dissing Santa Clarita. Now, I don't know Santa Clarita, but I'm assuming that there's a Best Buy or a Home Goods or something there, a grocery store. But the way this show makes it look like it's like...
That is isolation. What it is. It is isolation. I've been up to Santa Clarita, a handful of times in my life. It is far. You know, the gold standard on these shows has been Marina Del Rey as like the far outpost of Los Angeles. And that place, Marina Del Rey is far as well. But people don't realize of all the far flung locations, Malibu, Marina Del Rey, Pasadena, Santa Clarita has them beat tremendously. People know about the valley. For people who don't live in this area, what you have is the valley, which is north of areas like Hollywood and Beverly Hills and Santa Monica. You have the valley, and you have to drive through the entire valley and go up into a little sort of mountains and come back down again to a second valley. And it's in that second valley and then sort of up and towards the back of it. That's where Santa Clarita is. It's in a whole other separate valley. It's in the valley's own valley spinoff.
It's the valley. So yeah. Here I'm looking at the maps, and for my house, I mean, granted, I'm in the valley already. Thanks a lot, Ben. But I'm in the valley, and it says that it's 30 minutes from my house. But you know, the maps are liars, because every time, especially in LA, that the map's like 30 minutes, you better plan on at least an hour, because they lie. They're like, what? Yeah, well, sorry, traffic just got bad. Traffic's always bad.
It's always bad. Santa Clarita is, if you have no traffic, yeah, you can do it in like 30 minutes, but it's probably going to take an hour. And it's so far. You don't even understand. It's so far. And when you get up there, you're like, was it worth it to come this far? Was it really worth it? And the answer is usually no.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Well, they did it. So Danny finally got his way, and he's like, I love you, Santa Clarita. Woo-hoo! Yeah! That Buku Mountain right there, that Daddy's Mountain, check it out, 404. Check it out. Santa Clarita's heaven. Lord of mercy. We got a new baby Adelaide, our number 4. Wow.
Well, we've taken the deep dive off to the middle of nowhere. I almost had a baby in the car thanks to Santa Clarita because it took an hour to get to the hospital
because they're apparently still going to Cedar Sinai in West Hollywood, which is crazy. Basically it took an hour for them to get all the way to the hospital.
Your joy in zip code shaving on this show, I forgot what joy you get out of it.
No, this is actually not joy. This is like, what are you doing? Why are you still going to Cedar Sinai, but like living in Santa Clarita? Why are you being such masochist? Go to a hospital up there.
Yeah, you would think. But you know, you've done it three times. So I guess it's like, okay, we're sticking with it. We're sticking with what we know for the fourth. So their kids are screaming and running around and stuff. And she's feeding her baby. And so then we go to Kristen and Luke's home, and Kristen is also feeding her baby. She had a baby.
It's like, Luke and I are still engaged. I had a whole baby. I pooped myself. I'm an empath.
Do you think the blowouts are because she's laying down or because the diaper's too small? He's like, there'll be nothing in the front and then all the way up the back, all that poop. The biggest change in me since Kaya is I'm way less grossed out by poop than I used to be. Also, I now have styled myself to look like a Playmobil figurine. That's a good thing, I guess. Is it a good thing to be more comfortable with feces on your hands?
Aren't you a farmer or something? What's that his thing? Like, doesn't he live off the grid on like some farm or something like that? What are you? You're no stranger to poop, Montana. Get out of here.
Yeah. He's like, well, you feel well rested. How are you feeling? She's like, I don't know. It's like I told you the other day. I'm really good at being her mom. I just don't know how to be anything else. I just don't know how to be like a woman. You know what I mean? I'm not like being the best partner. And he's like, yeah, well, I think if we got a good nanny, everything else will ease up. I'm like, have you seen any of the other couples on your cast? didn't work out so well.
Kaya's our whole world. We don't have time for anything else. Like, we don't have time to, like, I don't know, like, make love, have sex, blow jobs, butt jobs, none of it. None of it.
And Luke's like, yeah, but, like, we've been with her every day so far. Like, can't we do something else, babe?
It's like, no, we're parents now. Okay. I know you'd feel like we don't have a relationship.
He's like, I didn't say that, but like certain areas are lacking more than others, like my penis.
I miss having sex. Like, I love Kristen. She's smoking hot. Like, come on, lay it on me.
Well, I'm going to try harder with all of that normalcy. It just takes time. Okay. A whole lot of precious time. Takes money and time to do it.
Kristen, stop doing George Harrison. Baby steps. Okay, to get back to feeling like yourself, baby steps, because I know it's my first time I've done this too, but we'll have to sip, and we have that sip and see coming up, so that'll be a little different.
Oh, I know. It's like the whole point of her is her, but like it's overwhelming for me. Caw.
So she's going to throw a sip and see together with Nia, a joint sip and see, because the girls are only 6 days apart, and she's overwhelmed, and she's like, I haven't left the house once since I had the baby. I'm like, God, you know what? I really feel for pregnant because I'm like the same. I never leave the house. If I have to even go to the house to the grocery store, even doing that is so hard. And I don't even have a baby. I don't even have the pain. I don't have someone needing me to fuck them. None of that. So I kind of get it. I mean, I get the staying in the house part. The baby part's your own problem. You did that to yourself. So Lala and Janet are shopping and so excited to see Janet again. And Lala is a full-time cast member. Why?
Wow. Huge.
Why?
Huge. Very why exciting did we do for this? America. Very exciting for America. So she's like, oh. I need to get Kristen a gift. So look at that. How cute is that? And Dren's like, oh my God, Kristen would love the dogs. I feel like the tie-dye one is so cute. So Lala tells us, I've known Kristen for like a long time. She and I definitely have gone tusk because I'm tough. I'm Utah Tufsk. I'm Lala. And we see flashbacks of them fighting Tupac. Over James.
It's Tupac, 2026. Lala Kent. Yeah, she fights hard and she loves hard. And she's very much my type of chick.
Is it awkward that I'm like having you help me? And Jan's like, no, I love all babies. So like, I want you to like get them something cute. And honestly, I'm just glad that I wasn't invited and put in a position where I have to set to not go, you know? And so last summer was a good lesson for me. It's been important to me to get into therapy, to work on myself, to reflect on how I can be better and not have so much pain in the group, and also pain from hitting my head on the low-hanging vent over my stovetop. But that's a whole other issue. That's for a contractor.
Here comes Janet with the Bravo Male storyline, the Bravo Male villain storyline of it's Janet 2.0, guys. I'm totally different now. I started therapy, and let me show you how much that worked throughout this episode. It's like she does all the exact same shit she did before. But she goes to therapy now, guys. It's like, yeah, like Nia blocked me on everything. Like she'd made it pretty clear. Like she wants me to shut my mouth and like move on. So I feel like Nia would rather paint me as a liar when she knows I'm the one to recognize the truth about what's happening with her and her husband. It's like, you just said therapy. Why are you still coming for Nia? The woman is living in Santa Clarita. Isn't she suffering enough?
I know. She is living in her own version of Mad Max up there. Okay. Just let her have her post-apocalyptic Santa Clarita life.
Fucking bully.
What?
Leave her alone, you fucking bully. My God. And Lala's like, well, do you think I could say, like, you could say, like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry that I went so hard and maybe it wasn't my place. And she's like, no, fuck no. She's looking at her like, you fucking crazy. And then we cut back to Kristen and she's like, oh, the only people going to my sip and see are my close friends.
And people who would rather be doing really anything else that day than to go to some random restaurant in the middle of Ventura Boulevard to look at two babies. So Luke is like, yeah, like Janet and Jason, they've, you know, there's been no communication whatsoever, which I mean, how can a friendship repair when there's zero communication over a course of a year? Which I think is also a bit funny. Like, Kristen and Luke were very much like, shut the fuck up, Janet. I'm done with you. And now Luke is like, gosh, I mean, how can we even be friends with them if they're not even going to reach out to us? I'm like, yeah. It's like either just don't be friends with them or you guys have to reach out. But I don't think like it's on Janet to reach out to them.
No, they're just not friends. And so it becomes like shooting, like who's going to shoot this scene? You know, now we're going to try and block each other from scenes. And it's funny because, you know, we talk about like people using their weddings as this bargaining chip. Like, oh, really? You want to be one of my bridesmaids? You better get your shit together or you're not going to be a bridesmaid. And then it's like, okay. And then you pay the thousands of dollars. And yes, I have been a bridesmaid. I've been a groomsman to everyone. He's like, what do you know? You never. I did experience this. So then you pay all the thousands of dollars for your outfit and the trip and the this and the that. And you throw the parties, you do this. And then anytime she gets mad, it's like, oh, you're not, you want to come to the wedding? You better watch it. You think this is cheap to feed you and feed all these? It's like, okay. So then you go to the wedding, then you pay all the money. It's like a fun party, whatever. You fuck somebody's cousin, whatever. And then the next thing, oh my God, we're having a baby. You want to come to my shower? You better behave. It's like this constant thing, but the returns are diminishing every time. It's like, then's the baby shower, then's the gender reveal, then's the birth, then's the sip and see. And people don't want to come anymore. You know what I mean? At some point, we're like, we have spent our money. I have given you thousands of dollars over the years, and you're not going to hold this over my head like you're doing me some big fucking favor by looking at your little sack of goo there, snotting all over the place in some restaurant that I'm going to pay the bill for anyway.
Yep, that's exactly right. Getting older is realizing that these things in people's lives, you're not obligated to participate in them whatsoever. And
go to the wedding.
Like, it's not a privilege. It's not a privilege to be part of it.
Go to the wedding, send the baby a gift, and call it a day. Save yourself some drama because it never ends, especially with people like Nia. Nia just keeps having them, you know? And then it's like, oh my God, I need a second job to buy your fucking children. And then they're the ones who always have the first birthday and the second birthday. And it's always a theme. So you've got to go buy a theme costume to come to the fucking thing. Girl.
And then they have so many kids, they have to move out to Santa Clarita. And the next thing you know, it's like, will you guys come to Santa Clarita for our party? So we're going to have to go to the kids' one-year-old party up in Santa Clarita. The only upside to that is that there is a Red Lobster in Valencia. So, you know, like, I would go to a birthday party in Santa Clarita just if it meant that I could, like, tack on a Red Lobster trip afterwards. Because it's like, the Red Lobsters in Los Angeles are very far flung, and you literally have to go out to Valencia. And at that point, you might as well go to Magic Mountain and ride some roller coasters. And honestly, this is turning out to be a pretty good day, now that I say it.
I know, Ben's like, oh my God, I need to make more straight friends.
Is there a Container Store up there? Because then we hit the trifecta.
Yeah. But, you know, I know we sound like two crotchety, you know, single people, but that's what happens when you stay single. You start seeing what a robbery the rest of you all impose on us, okay? Because I do want to be included in my couple's lives. And, you know, I love the kids and I'm like everyone's uncle. Like, I love that. And it's not like I'm saying don't go through all that, but I think maybe go back to just being like, don't invite Ronnie, he's gay. I mean,
or before just don't use it as a bargaining chip.
In the street, or like a thing in the street, like, why am I not invited just because I'm gay? But now that I am invited everywhere, I'm like, just don't invite me. I'm gay. I mean, I just want to put that on the RSVP. No, I'm gay.
I think it's single. I think it's more just like, don't guilt me about things. Don't guilt me about like, you're not going to get invited to the wedding if this happens. It's like, right. Great.
Great. Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
You know, like, money. Please enjoy your overcooked chicken.
That said, this all stems from Kristen saying, like, well, she's not coming to my sippancy. And I'm team Kristen, this not team Janet. But, you know, it's just whenever I hear that, I get a little triggered. Like, well, you're not coming to my sippancy. It's like, oh, wow.
It's like, oh,
call the newspaper, you know.
Yeah.
Call page six. Ronnie was excluded from a sippancy. So Kristen's like, you know, Janet shit on too many friends and she doesn't even exist to me, which is why I'm still so pissed. And the only moment she even existed was that second at Britney's house last year. And then we cut to Janet. She's like, oh my God, that interaction at Britney's, that was not great. It went from like, oh, Kristen has a baby on her boob to like, oh my God. And Lala goes, yeah, like, oh, Kristen has a baby on her boob.
Yeah. Get me out of here as quick as I can. Get me to Dave and Buster's. Brittany had a pool party that she was going to invite all the kids over for. And I'm like, okay, if Kristen's there, she'll probably have a newborn with her. So she's going to be sticking inside in the air conditioning. We'll get there. We'll change. We'll go to the pool. It probably won't even be that big of an issue. Oh, here's my side of the story. Brittany told me that if Janet was 99% not going to come, especially if she knew I was going to be there and she was probably going to cancel and I shouldn't even worry about it. Well, tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. Because the next thing I know, Janet showed up. Well, Kristen's like, Brittany, why is she here? She doesn't deserve to be here. Took me a second to be like, oh, is she talking about me? No, not doing this today. Not doing this today.
Not in front of my kid. My entire being. Just, I think whenever Janet tells a memory, like she tells a story that's a memory, they should do it like Dateline style where they're showing you the scene of the crime. It's like, it was October 22nd. It's all black and white and grainy. And they're making it as dramatic as possible before you see the dead body. Because every time she tells it, she's like, a crime was committed against me and my people. So she's like, yeah, in front of my kid. I was like, oh God, here we go. Now you have a kid, so it makes it tons worse. What about the people who had a kid that you spent the whole last year calling the dad a sexual assaulter and everything else? Get out of here. Even though that guy did grab a butt. Still not on Team Danny. Even though I'm pro Janet. I know. You see, that's what makes it crazy, the show.
You called him a sexual assaulter. Oh, although he did grab the thigh of that girl and said,
he did. You know, he did. But she takes it to a different level where it's just like, sexual assaulter. You know, she just makes everything so dramatic, you know? And she's like, not in front of my kid. Me being told to leave in front of my kid, get out of here. So I scooped up Cam and I grabbed our back and I turned around and I walked away. I got in the car and I texted her and I was just like, what the fuck? And then we see the text are like, blah, 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 blah. That's all the text. It wasn't just one saying, what the fuck? It's like, seriously, not okay. In front of my child. In front of my child. My child can't breathe right now. Are you okay? My child is choking on the disrespect. You almost killed my child. You child assaulter.
Cameron is crying because I just spent the last hour telling him we were swimming. What the fuck is that? My child is crying. My child is crying. Go to the public pool, okay? They're all over the valley. Just knock on someone's door. There's pools everywhere.
Or go to the party anyway. Kristen's going to be there the rest of your filming life anyway. Go to the party. Put some floaties on your kid's arm. Throw them in the pool like everybody else. Come back inside and tell Kristen to shut the fuck up. Like, and there's that. Why are you such a wimp?
And then there's that too. Quite frankly, that's actually really what she should have done, is that she should have used the child card and said, like, don't do this in front of the children, Kristen. I know you're new at this, but don't do this, you know?
Yes. Use your baby as a damn weapon like everybody else, you know? Kristen's like walking in there with her baby, like, I got a baby now. You're not the only one with a baby now, bitch. And she's like, oh, really? I have Cam, and Cam is very upset with you, Kristen.
It's like a video of their Game babies of Thrones. They each have like their own. Each like house has their own flag, except it's just a baby. Just like it's like dun 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 dun. Dun. And but the thing is this: she still is using her child. She's just using her child in a different way, because she's using the child. Because this way she also gets to say, I was basically like shunned from the party and I had to leave. But you're right. She should have just put the kid in the pool and been like, Kristen, I know you're upset, but like, we're adults here and there's children, and let's not do this. Let's not do this in front of your beautiful sleeping angel on your chest. But you know, it's also Kristen, and who knows really? I mean, Kristen is, get her out of here. You know, like it's hard with Kristen sometimes.
Then let Kristen be the ranting, raving psycho at the party and just stay calm and put the kid in the pool. It's like, you're not new to this. You're not new to this dynamic, and you helped cause this dynamic. So stop acting like, oh my God, my baby, my poor baby. And just all the texts on the screen are really crazy. It's like, my child is crying and so confused. Oh God, why can't she just ignore me? I can't believe you allowed this to happen, Brittany. Seriously, I'm not okay. I'm literally shaking. Tell her to leave if she has a problem.
Oh, God.
Guys, it's a pool party, all right?
Serious, at Brittany's house.
I know. I also, I went onto Threads last night and then this morning, and just very briefly, and I think Kristen's going through it, because like someone, whatever the equivalent of tweeting is on Threads, posted something like, oh my God, why is Kristen like, Kristen should not be celebrated. She's a crazy person. And Kristen's like, seriously, say it to my face. And then today she was like, the amount of hate that I'm getting on this platform is absolutely insane. I don't know why. Like, it makes me so funny to think of Kristen being on Threads at home, be like, oh God, another person said something. Harumph.
So wait, what were they telling her on Threads?
It was just typical internet stuff.
Like, Kristen should be Kristen. What?
Okay, I'll look it up. It was just like,
well, no, just like a general Kristen.
Just like unremarkable, what? Just like unremarkable, you know,
like Kristen
social sucks. Media chatter, like Kristen sucks or whatever. And she was just like very unhappy about it. I think that maybe she was hoping that to have like unfettered support, to be like, she finally got her baby, and thought that everyone would be like, oh my God, so happy for Kristen. So when people are like, fuck Kristen, she's like, what? Seriously?
I have a baby.
Okay, here's what she wrote. Here's what she wrote yesterday. I don't know why this, just because it's Kristen, so funny to me.
Why are they laughing?
It's a generic thing. I love when
you're so delighted.
She goes, truly fucking baffled by the number of people on Threads who tag me and are so cruel and rude. Here's your one moment, guys. Why? Don't forget to at me so we all see it. I'd love it even more if you'd tell me face to face. I just love her, like,
face to face.
Because, you know, she paced around that apartment all day long. Like, I'm going to write something, Luke. I'm going to write something on Threads. It's like, Kristen, don't do it. Come on, not in front of Jill. I'm going to do it. Look away, Jill.
That was probably bro. Home. Like, did you see Kristen's tweet? My baby is crying. Just on Threads. My baby's on Threads. Traumatized my baby. So Lala's like, yeah, but I'm just, look, I get it. I get that you have trauma. But, like, I'm looking for fun, okay? Because I've been chilling for like 2 years playing mama, and like, I'm covered in spit up, and I just want everyone to fucking get along. So congrats on your baby. Like, where are you at with Janet? Remember her? And so then we go to Brittany, and I love that Lala hasn't been on a show for 2 years. So she's like, I haven't been doing shit for 2 years. I've been in a dark box seeing nothing. I only exist on television. So... please.
She has been working on not her resume, but just her resume. Like, I'd like to resume shooting, please. So
I like to put Lala on a box when she's not being used for TV. Although I know she has been out of that box because her podcast, she has that podcast with Rand's other ex-wife. And they would post clips, and it's like, oh my God, we're talking about like the most gross things Rand would do in bed. I'm like, who is listening to this? Why would anybody want to picture that man naked having sex with anybody, let alone two of you?
Yeah, let me bookmark that episode. We now go to Brittany's house, and she's FaceTime with Brandon, and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" By the way, this guy looks to me very much like Jax, like tattoos, sort of has the same smile. Like, there's just, he visually has a lot of references to Jax. And Brittany's like, "Well, I'm just imagining a little bit because I miss you." It's like, "I miss you too. 5 days in Cabo together and you're not tired of me yet." And he's like, "No, probably could have done at least 3 more days. "Oh, 3 more days. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock floor. Wait, how's that go? Tequila one? You know, do it from the
How
top.
How many days are in an hour again? Wow, guys, I'm getting my sparkle back. I met Brandon in Kentucky. I've known him a long time. Maybe since kindergarten. I don't know. I didn't go to kindergarten. Anyway."
Oh my God. Brittany is on like a 20. So she says that
she's so funny. She's actually cracking me up because she's so happy. She's like finally seeing life for the first time outside of Jax. And it's like, she is like someone in one of those time traveler movies. Like someone from 1805 gets transported to New York City and is like, "What's that hot dog? I've never seen something like that." And she's just like, her
hot
eyes
dogs are
wide.
When you got sparkle. I'm a single girl eating a hot dog now.
Yeah, okay, well, things instantly clicked and eventually it turned into like this romantic thing, but the timing just wasn't right because like I had this opportunity to go on TV and marry Jax, and like it's been like 13 years since we've seen each other, and me and Brandon are just like so great together. We're like sparkle and sparkle making double sparkle.
We're actually best friends, and it makes me feel real good because he's just so nice to me. And the first time he came to visit me, I was like, "You can sleep in my guest room." But I didn't know if that sparkle was going to be the same. But he did sleep in my guest room, but I slept in there with him.
Mainly because Jack still has cameras installed in the main house, so there was some logistics involved too. He lives 3 hours away from me in California. I'm in Studio City. He's in Marina Del Rey, so it's a good three and a half hours to get to each other. "Hey, Brandon, when are you gonna be back?" He's like, "I guess Thursday." "Okay, I just want everyone to meet you."
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So they're like, "Oh my God, are you gonna get along with everybody?" So then we go to Zach, and Zach is hanging out. Now talk about someone who was taken out of a box. Tom Schwartz is now on this show as well. This man looks pickled. He looks like he has been drinking for a week and not been able to pee. He looks like he's about to, like, I don't know, like the booze is going to start. He's red-eyed. He doesn't look good. Tom doesn't look good. He looks sad and lost. I mean, I guess that's kind of his style, but
yeah,
I don't know. This was another moment where I was like, this is sad.
Yeah, he's joined this specific tier of people that you see in Los Angeles, especially at the Sunset Strip, like lingering on the Sunset Strip, these like 40 plus men clutching on to what it was like when they were 23. And it's just, it's sad. It's sad to see it, but here he is. And he is meeting up with Zach at like a saloon. It's like 95 degrees out and they're in this like saloon type bar. It has saloon doors. Which means that it's like open air, but it's 95 degrees. I would be like, please get me into a bar that has a door that closes and seals in the air conditioning. Thank you.
I'm telling you, the locations they choose to shoot in on this show are always so depressing. And they're like, where even is this? Like, where did you find this place? Yikes. So Zach's like, why are you so sweaty? He's like, wow, what's going on? Let me look at you. You're super lean. You look so svelte. You got to reciprocate the compliment, though. Tell me, like, I look good and stuff. He's like, oh, yeah, you look good. Jeez, you look like a maraschino cherry.
A maraschino cherry. That's not, I'm not putting Tom Schwartz on top of any just Sundays, I'll tell you that much.
But he just looks red and like pickled in some way. So he's like, thanks. But you know, like I want to keep leveling up, right? Cause you know, when you're depressed, you put on weight. So I put on like a happy 15 pounds. Okay. You know, after the bar closed, it's like a happy depressed 15 pounds. It's a depression, happiness, weight gain.
What is Tom, when he says, I want to level up a little more, when did the, to, a little more implies that there was an initial level up. I feel like Does he? I feel like he thinks he's an escalator, but he's just a moving platform. It is. There's no ascending happening.
He's
here.
A log raft. Yeah, I think he means like from my Tom Schwartz math, he meant the restaurant closed. He gained 15 pounds, but now he lost it again. And so he wants to keep like going and trying to get hotter, I guess.
Yeah. So he tells us, man, my life kind of fell apart at the seams, like divorced, hemorrhaging money. And then we see a clip of Katie basically, you know, saying like, I'm divorcing him. He's like, I don't know how exactly.
It just cuts to Katie and she's like,
echo. It's like an echo. I roll.
But you fucking loser. It's like, yeah, I mean, I don't really know how to articulate it, but like, I guess I got my sparkle. Can I steal Britney's line? I got my sparkle back. Look at me sparkling.
He literally has not even enough personality to come up with his own sentence to describe how he feels right now. He has to crib off of Britney. He's like, I'm happy it happened on some level. I know it's fucked up because I lost a lot of money, but it just made me a better person. It gave me grit. It gave me chutzpah. It gave me so much strength. Ah, this bar stool hurts a little bit. Zach's like, I've known Tom since the day I moved to LA, and he is one of the kindest, gentlest, most ineffective people I've ever met. And like, you got stuck in like a really bad situation, and now you're to the point where like you're ready to like thrive instead of just like survive, right? Are you quoting Ashley Darby? No, right?
Thriving, just surviving. That's exactly it. Because like, oh yeah, well, I saw Britney was in Cabo. She looks happy. That's great. He's like, yeah, you know what? Listen, I'm glad she's happy, but like, I don't want to like, I just worry because she's like so vulnerable right now. She's like so vulnerable.
She's looking for validation. No, I know. She's been trapped in like a garage for like 3 weeks now. Okay. But like, you know, he said, I love you so fast. It's like moving so fast, but like if you don't put in the work yourself to then see these red flags, you're going to fall for them again. Tom's like, I think she should seriously consider doing a little master dating. Master dating is essentially just taking yourself out for a night on the town, sitting at the end of a bar, looking at the 22-year-old girls, telling them that you're only 31, seeing what you can do to remind them you've been on TV. Then you take one home and, you know, master dating.
It's just basically walking into a food court and waiting until somebody recognizes you. Sparkle.
You guys just have to build yourself up in the field of Britney's dreams. If she builds it, he will come. And then she will come. Oh, I'm a comedian now.
And so we start talking about him and Benji, Zach and Benji. And he's like, yeah, you know what? Like, Benji's still here, you know? And like, we're still figuring out his visa, which is like a fucking nightmare.
And he's saying that they have an open relationship. And he's like, the thing is that like sex and love are like different, and we're like far too often to make it like all sex and like about making baby bullshit. Like, then why is your prostate in your butthole? Like, Jesus knew what he was doing when he put that up there. And I think that somewhere in here, Zach is like, yeah, he's got his visa. Don't worry. It's an official this visa. So don't worry. I'm like, I don't think having an official visa has any bearing on what ICE is going to do. I'm like, the more he talks about the fact that Benji is not a citizen of this country, the more I am generally concerned that we're going to have a very special episode of The Valley where like Benji's not here anymore. You know, like, doesn't really matter these days.
Yeah. Or like talking about open relationships. You don't want to give them anything they can use against you to call it like a fake relationship and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess his visa isn't dependent on Zach, right? Because they're not married. They're not married, right?
I guarantee they get married? It's not.
No, they just had Benji's here now party.
There's no way that Benji hung his visa on Zach. He's probably like, oh, no, not. I'm not basing my visa on you, Zach. Why would I ever do that off someone who keeps such a dirty floor?
Yeah. So then we go to Nia and Kristen grabbing lunch in, you know, another place that just feels like sticky tables. So Kristen's like, oh, God, we're like 3 blocks from home. We might as well be in a foreign country. Like, where even are we? You're on Ventura. Like, it'll be fine.
I totally get it. You know, I imagine
this is rough, like right when you have the baby. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The first time you have a baby going out, it's just scary. You're like, it's your first baby. You're worried that something's going to happen to the child and whatever. And she's self-conscious how she looks. You know, I am not going to make fun of any of that, but I do think it's funny that like she is so out of sorts when Kristen is, when she comes into this restaurant, she's like a 16-year-old learning how to drive a car in a parking lot for the first time. Like that baby carriage, that stroller is like bonking into tables. She's like, oh, where do I go? Huh? What do I do? How do I order? What's happening? How do I use a menu? What's a salad?
If I was that baby's uncle, I would bring that baby a crash helmet. Like a cute little pink crash helmet. But yeah, I mean, the whole thing of just like having a baby and having to go out and having to learn to go through all that shit, especially when you're alone, you don't have like a partner to help you. I mean, my God, just driving up. Now you've got a bigger ass car and you've got to park that. And then you got to pull the baby out the car and then you got to get it out of the seat, which is a pain in the butt because those seats are crazy now. There's like 90 buckles. It's like, how do I get the seat in? How do I get it out? Where are the buckles? And then you got to get the baby out and then you got to figure out these new fucking stroller things, like as big as a car, and like hustle the baby in and out. And then the baby's hungry and you're like, my boobs are leaking. I mean, it's just like hell. It's hell. It is hell.
And on top of that, like Kristen already inherently moves like one of those inflatable things in front of a used car lot, like flopping around. And now that she's actually affixed her hands to a stroller, she's just putting all that energy into the stroller. So the stroller just like wobbling back and forth, like on a slippery when wet sign. So she's like, we're 3 blocks from home and we might as well be in a foreign country because that's how stressful this is. I mean, the first time I left house after giving birth, I went to a grocery store and people weren't nice to me anymore because I wasn't pregnant. Like no one held the door for me. No one was like, oh God, your belly's so cute. They just like walked by me like I was some piece of shit. It was awful. I'm like, you mean how you used to wait the tables at Sir? You're not pretty.
Oh, pregnancy privilege. Oh God, I want it.
I know.
I want that.
It does suck, though.
Everybody has to be nice to you for a while.
Like, oh my God. For a moment, you think it's your personality that's causing people to be nice to you. And then you realize, nope, just the people had warm wishes for my baby.
So Nia's asking her about breastfeeding and she's like, no, I had nothing left. Like I was barely giving her a bottle a day. Like I've been trying to pump twice a day, but like it sucks. So like I've been at home wearing sweats and a bra, but I finally had to leave the house. And she's like, but have you even had a date night? And she's like, no. She goes, oh my God, babe, you're like 3 months in. You got to have a date night. Okay. We even do that in Sierra Bonita. I mean, sunset, where are we again? Sierra Leone. Where are we?
The names don't even make sense Santa when you're Carina. As far away as we are. I know that you feel like you're in a foreign country because you're 3 blocks from your home, but I'm literally in a foreign country. Please save me.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors...
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses. It's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.